selling lies and buying time, killing people that's in line, lower class and social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for they warm, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids, no one makes gun, trees, lie to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgive. Buying time, killing people next in line, lower class and social side, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, see their shit, force of air, fuck them back, it's only fair, they bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn, the kids, no one leaves gun, trees, lie, to your face, fight, and die, cause God forgives, yeah.
Show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV. And it is the 21st of February. Almost got that out of the way. We are marching fast towards spring. You can't get here soon enough. It's, even though it's been an easy winter, it seems to be a long winter for some oddball reason. We're going in the right direction. Hopefully, the weather hangs in here. Now, you see, this is the problem. I'm over here at the Weather Channel, and it's just ludicrous. We've had a fairly open winter. It's been warm, and for the most part, it hasn't been significantly hot, but we've had some warm days. And, today was a nice day, except it rained. It was relatively warm out. I think it got up to about 7 or 8. And they jump all over this stuff like it's global warming. They can't stop it because they're hooked in their lie, and they got to keep pushing the lie. So it's warm out, and they're telling us that they need to do all these things which hurt everybody in order to save the planet. It says here, Earth just went through its third warmest January on record. Oh my God, the sky's fallen. Records on this date in my town, the record low was in 1885, and it was minus 23 degrees. The record high was not today. The record high was 12.2 degrees way back in 1930. So, as I say, if you see a scientist or know a scientist, give him a smack up the back of the head or give him a shove or something. Just to let him know that you know that this whole thing is nothing but a crock of nonsense. Now, where did that little story go? Where is that damn story? Okay. This I'm not even going to read. NASA News. Alien atmosphere experts gather at NASA. Big news ahead. I may have to read that. Now, this one here I find interesting. The plan to refreeze the Arctic Well, the Arctic's frozen. But they're going to refreeze what's already frozen because, well, you don't go up to the Arctic, so they keep telling you it's melted, which it hasn't. So this I like. I think I'm going to like this story because this takes me back in remembrance of my friend George Hunt, who worked so diligently for so long, 1987 till his death, to clue people into what was going on. Now, he had meetings with Rockefeller and Rothschild and Morris Strong and I can't remember that guy's name. He was the head of the EPA, Ruckelhaus, I think his name was. All criminals. But they're all behind this nonsense. So it says drastic times call for drastic measures. It can be argued. When it comes to fighting Arctic sea ice loss, here's one countermeasure that almost seems like a Bond villain plan in reverse. With global average temperatures rising and much of the Arctic Ocean likely to be ice-free in the late summer of 2030, based on nothing, of course, a group of researchers have taken the first step toward a plan to refreeze it. Are you ready for this? I wish I had a drum roll, but I don't. If I did, I'd play it, because it deserves one. So off the top, or over the top, that it should have a drum roll. So here's the plan. A group of researchers. Well, I'm a researcher. Ain't part of my plan. Have taken the first steps towards a plan to refreeze it. Using around 10 million, that's right, 10 million wind-powered water pumps installed around the region. The study led by researchers from the University of Arizona says the pumps would bring water to the top of the ice in the winter where it would freeze, eventually adding an additional meter of thickness over the course of the season. The researchers say such a deployment to around 10% of the Arctic could more than reverse current trends of ice loss, and that it could be done with existing technology, though at a hefty price. Now, who is on the hook for every dollar spent and every dollar borrowed from your so-called government? You are. You're it. You're the account. You're accountable. So, in fact, the report goes into a fair bit of detail on the kind of industrial undertaking the plan would need, installing 1 million wind turbines a year for 10 years, and over 10% of the Arctic would cost around half a trillion dollars in the end. What's a half a trill, right? You know, what's a half a trillion bucks when you're making ice? You better have some good rye or scotch to go with that ice. But as massive as that sounds, I don't know, half a trillion sounds pretty massive, but as massive as that sounds, the researchers, doesn't name any of them, say even if the plan included installing wind turbines over the entire Arctic rather than just 10%, with a yearly cost of around $500 billion, that would still only represent around 0.64% of the global GDP, 2.7% of the U.S. GDP, and 13% of the U.S. federal budget. For a sense of perspective, the researchers note that the U.S. auto industry's annual production of around 10 million vehicles, around one-ninth of global output, nets in $300 billion in revenues. While clearly expensive, constructing and employing the pumping devices over the entire Arctic is economically achievable, the researchers say. It is also clear that the deployment of devices over 10% of the Arctic at $50 billion per year annually is actually economically quite tractable. Nevertheless, it does sound like a drastic enterprise, but the researchers say the approach should be considered as part of a multi-pronged strategy, because efforts to reduce greenhouse gas emissions aren't enough to reverse the warming that is causing sea ice loss. We want to provoke discussion, get people thinking about the Arctic in particular, about the need to intervene strongly there, because nothing we do on the world scale is going to be fast enough to save this summer sea ice in the Arctic. Lead researcher Stephen Dask told the CBC News, or as we refer to it here in Canada, Stan, the Communist Broadcasting Corporation. Now, the reason this story kind of makes me laugh and smile is it reminds me of George Hunt. Now, in a clip, I have it somewhere, and you can probably just look it up. You could probably just Google Rothschild proposes using CO2 to make dry ice in order to haul it up to the Arctic to save the ice. This was way back in 1987, I believe he said that, or 89, somewhere in there. That was a very long time ago. Now, what is the culprit? CO2, which it's not, but that's what you exhale, and that's what the plants breathe. So you, not your automobile, not the factories, you are the problem. Because if you take the population of the planet, I think you will find that they create more CO2 just breathing than all the factories on the planet. So it's you that's the problem. There's too freaking many of you. That's exactly why they pick CO2, to make you the enemy. Now, these schemes are ludicrous, and the lie is ludicrous. But they just keep pumping along here. Warming ocean fractures Antarctic ice shelf from the inside out. Now, if you want to, you can go to my blog and probably just punch in the search engine global warming, and you'll come across it in there somewhere. And my blog is canadiantruths.wordpress.com. And the ice melted a long time ago, in the 1800s, I believe it was. And I was taught this in school, for crying out loud. You know, the search for the Northwest Passage. And the fishes disappeared. And the water got real warm. And way back then, before computers or anything else, those who dealt with marine life and the oceans figured out what the problem was. You know? And the problem was the deep sea currents, which every now and again, as the Earth is cyclical and is a normal cycle, we get periods of warm, deep currents. And the ice is melting not from the bottom or from the top down, but from the bottom up. But they can't sell you anything on that deal because it's a natural cycle. No, they got to come up with these schemes. of the Chicken Little scheme. Oh my God, the sky is falling. No, science is falling. That's what's falling. Okay, the legitimacy of science is taking a big tank. No legitimate scientist would be involved in this. Any legitimate science would just go back in history. Hell, we got the documents. It's not like they're hidden. It's not like nobody knows about it. You don't hear the common, you don't hear the news heads, the talking heads on TV asking these scientists, well, wait a minute. What about the late 1800s, early 1900s? Didn't we have a serious ice melt? Oh, yeah, well, that was a fluke, okay? But this is global warming. It's not global warming. You can't warm the globe. We are nothing. We represent really nothing more than a bunch of ants running around on a piece of ground. But they zone in on this stuff. Oh my God, there's a mine site. Yeah. Yes, there is. Oh my God, they cut some trees. Yes, they did. But do we have the capacity to cut all the trees down? No. Do we have a capacity to dig enough holes in the ground that it's going to somehow have a negative effect on the world? No. We don't have that capacity. How many nuclear bombs have been dropped? How many nuclear bombs have been tested? Planet seems to still be here. God knows they've tried to destroy it. These are the same people who tried to destroy the planet that are telling you they're trying to save the planet. These people are lunatics, and they need to be called out for it. Oh my goodness, a rare magnitude 5.8 earthquake rattles Canada's far north. And I bet you didn't even wake up a polar bear. 5.8 magnitude quake way up there has got no bearing on anything. And this is the kind of nonsensical world that we're living in. Now I have to go here because I guess I gotta know. Has something interesting been found in an alien atmosphere? And this is from Scott Sutherland, a meteorologist / science writer. So he's a fiction writer. A Wednesday NASA teleconference on exoplanets includes some of the leading experts on the atmosphere of these alien worlds. What exactly have astronomers found? We appear to be in yet for another exciting announcement about these exoplanet alien worlds that orbit around stars other than the sun. The Associate Administrator of the Science Mission Directorate at NASA headquarters in Washington, Michael Gillian, an astronomer of the University of Liège in Belgium, Sean Carey, the senior astronomer for NASA Spitzer Science Center, and Nicolay Lewis, an astronomer at the Space Telescope Scientific Institute, and Sarah Seeger, a professor of planetary science and physics at Massachusetts Institute of Technology. The last big announcement involving exoplanets that Michael Gillian participated in came last May, which reported the discovery of three roughly Earth-sized worlds orbiting an ultra-cool dwarf star named TRAPPIST, after the instrument that had investigated the star and its planets, which is roughly, this will impact us, folks. I'm freaked out now. Which is roughly 40 light years away from us. It's the constellation Aquarius. Remember that song, It Is the Age of Aquarius? They sung the shit out of that song when I was a kid way back in the 60s. This is the Age of Aquarius. This is what this shit's all about. Okay? It's the new age. It's the new age. It's a phony age. It's crock of nonsense. But it's what they're using to move you to where you don't want to end up at. One of these planets, TRAPPIST-1D, the third detected and farthest out from the star, was determined to be about 20% larger than Earth, and it seemed to have the best chance of the three of being in Transport One's habitable zone. The ring of space around the star, which were an orbiting planet, could be warm enough to have liquid water on its surface. The other two planets detected, TRAPPIST-1B and TRAPPIST-1C, were closest to the star, and this would be too warm to be of interest for potential habitability. So while these three exoplanets were all Earth-sized, none of them could be confirmed as being potentially Earth-like. The problem was there was plenty of uncertainty in TRAPPIST-1D's exact distance from the star, since the astronomers only had observed it transiting across the face of the star twice. With more observation, observers could get a better sense of its orbit and determine if its temperatures would be closer to what Earth experiences, or if it was more like Venus or Mars or perhaps even Sirius. With a scientist from the TRAPPIST project appearing in the press conference alongside experts in exoplanet atmosphere, have astronomers locked down TRAPPIST-1D's orbit better, indicating that it is well within the star's habitable zone? Have they found evidence of an atmosphere, maybe even one that contains oxygen, methane, or some other indicator of biological life? Have they instead found another planet there that has yielded up some exciting results, or perhaps even another ultra-cool dwarf star system with one or more worlds around it, maybe TRAPPIST-2. All we can do is speculate at the moment. We will have to wait for Wednesday's press conference to be sure, but this could be a very important and exciting announcement. What's this all about? TRAPPIST is an advanced telescope designed to detect planets as they pass between their star and Earth. This is the same kind of work that NASA Kepler Space Telescope performs, except that TRAPPIST works from Earth's surface, from the Ocamedian Observatory in Monaco and the Chile Observatory in the desert. The transit of an alien world causes a slight dip in the brightness of the star as we watch it in atmospheres. Astronomers have figured out ways of separating out the signal for a planet transit from the phenomena that they may cause a star to dim. As the exoplanet transits across the face of its star, we can not only determine the size of the planet based on how big of a dip in brightness it causes, but we know that the planet is there. And we know it's a star very well. We can watch the planet with other telescopes and can pick out subtle changes in the data that can indicate it has an atmosphere and possibly even detect what gases the atmosphere contains. The amount of information we can gather about exoplanets currently is quite remarkable, and this only promises to get better once TESS, Transiting Exoplanet Survey Satellite, is launched later this year, and the James Webb Space Telescope is deployed in 2016. Now, that was a good story about absolutely nothing. That, again, these scientists are studying a planet 40 light years away. Now, I'm not a scientist, and I don't exactly know how far away a light year is, but I think it's quite some distance. And it ain't going to get populated by anybody from this planet, plain and simple. But we got to look. We got to look, because this Earth is dying. We're past the tipping point. We can't stop the CO2 increases fast enough. We got to get windmills pumping water up onto the ice. Why? Well, the ice melts from below. Obviously, if the sun's that hot that is melting the ice from above, what's the point of pumping water on it? Fact is, if there's warmth that's melting the ice, it's coming from underneath, not on top. It doesn't take a real logical mind to figure this stuff out. But the world is about to implode. We have to go find new planets to live on. I mean, these aren't science. These are the science writers. These are science fiction writers. Because the whole idea of this Earth being, you know, it's 5 minutes to midnight, you know, maybe 1 minute midnight now that Donald Trump got elected. Who knows? The fact is, it's fiction. And why wouldn't it be fiction? The legal system's a fiction. The state is a fiction. So why wouldn't a science writer be a fiction writer? All crap, all the time, everywhere. And now on to the news. We have here a little story from my neck of the woods. Protesters along highway near Hanover Monday. Now, I did make the front page of the Hanover Post, which was kind of interesting when I attended a meeting about our hydro rates here in Ontario. And it's nice to see some people out protesting, although I'm not a protester, because protesters hold up signs. And I always ask the protesters, why don't you figure out how many signs it takes to get what you want accomplished and then go print that many signs and your problem solved, if in fact signs have any capacity to make any change, which they don't, of course. But people would rather hold up signs and bitch and bellyache and complain than doing the research and finding out what the real problem is and then stepping forward and trying to do something about it. Anyways, protesters along highway near Hanover Monday are protesting. There was a loud demonstration Monday. They waved placards along Highway 4 in front of Saugeen Cedars Campground. Owner Pat Cottrell says her hydro bill for the campground has more than doubled in just 2 years, from about $16,000 a year to $37,000. Cottrell adds that she isn't the only one suffering. This is ridiculous. People are losing their business. They're losing their homes. Seniors are freezing in their homes in the winter, says Cottrell. She says the high hydro bill make it difficult for her to run her business. It's making it more and more difficult, says Cottrell. It cuts into your bottom line, so you have to stop doing upgrades for the campers. You have to stop doing maintenance on certain systems because there's no money. Cottrell said she'll have to raise the rent for some campers, but she can't raise them higher than what people can afford. Bruce County Owen Sound MPP Bill Walker, who took part in the protest, says what's needed is action on reducing hydro bills, not just a lot of talk from Premier Kathleen Wynne. Well, it's a Liberal government running this province into the ground, and so the MPP Bill Walker is playing his part. Good cop, bad cop. Because Bill Walker knows that the premier of this province cannot do anything about the increases in the hydro rates. He knows that. He absolutely knows that. He knows that the Minister of Energy cannot do anything about the rising hydro rates. But here we have Owen Sound MPP Bill Walker, who took part in the protest, says what's needed is action on reducing hydro bills, not just a lot of talk from Premier Kathleen Wynne. Now, Kathleen Wynne, the Premier of Ontario, just happens to be a globalist, Muslim-loving dyke who should not have be anywhere near any kind of a leadership position, is saying that she's going to do her best to reduce the rates by either giving a rebate back, and they've already taken off the HST tax on it. But this is not reducing the rates. What it's doing, it's causing the government to borrow money to show that they're lowering the rates when in fact they're not. The rates are the same and going up. Using borrowed money to show people that you care when in fact you do not have the capacity to do a damn thing about it is fraud. Bill Walker, MPP, says he's against the government selling off Hydro One, and he calls for a moratorium on the Green Energy Act. Saugeen, Cedars owner Pat Cottrell, and Briefs Gray, MPP, Bill Walker, at the scene of the Hydro rate protest Monday. These people, they couldn't tell you the truth, not the media, not the politicians. You know, this Pat Cottrell out here is saying, well, at least Walker showed up and he wants to help us. He doesn't give a sweet bejesus about you. Because if he did, he would tell you the scam and how it operates. But he ain't doing that. Now that I have this story in hand, I think that I shall have to give Bill Walker, Owen Sound MPP, Gray Bruce, Owen Sound MPP, a call. This call I will record and we'll put it up on YouTube or something, because these people need to get called out. Now, we have a staying in Ontario here, and I don't care really where you live. You can live in anywhere in Canada, or you can live anywhere in the West, and this same crap's going on. MPP wants Ontario legislature to hold its own debate on Islamophobia. Liberal MPP Nathalia Desrosiers. Now, I don't know if that's a, is that a Jewish name? I don't know. I should look that up. I don't know what the hell kind of name that is. She's very hard to find any real background on. Let's see what we can dig out here. She is tangled up with the United Nations, and it's the United Nations that came up with the migration documents, of which all countries are member states of the United Nations and agree to open their gates to allow the flood of migrants that they created in order to destroy the West into your countries. So we know that she's hooked up with the United Nations because it says so. Let's see. I don't know if that's a Jewish name or what. Let me see. Now, here's the Jewish marks Hanukkah. Let's see. Maybe she is a Jew. And what people don't seem to understand, there's a good cop, bad cop thing going on too with the Jews. And the Jews, I see some Jew is wanting to wants to push a hate rule against the Islamic part of it. Let's see, is her name in here? I don't know if that name is even Jewish. Something tells me it is, but I don't know. Let me go back here and see. I don't know what I don't know all these Jewish names. Jewish Quarter in Paris is Des Rosiers, which is her name, and which is the Jewish Quarter in Paris. So I take it Jews have lived on Des Rose since the Middle Ages. Okay, so obviously she's a Jew. Let me see, try it this way. But see, this is the kind of research people need to do when they see a name and somebody's up to something. The name is also adopted by Ashkenazi Jews. Okay, so the broad's a Jew. Okay? This MPP in Ontario is obviously a Jew. And she wants the Ontario legislature to hold its own debate on Islamophobia. Now, you pretty much figure she's a Jew with that name, and the fact she's a lawyer pretty much nails that. The furor in the House of Commons over a motion condemning Islamophobia is prompting a similar debate in the Ontario legislature next week. Liberal MPP Nathalie Des Rosiers sent a letter to other members on Friday asking that they support a motion that she intends to introduce next Thursday. It calls for the House to condemn all forms of Islamophobia. I believe that hate crimes have no place in Canadian society, she writes in the letter. A similar motion debated in the House of Commons this week sparked some responses from some members of the public that were sexually demeaning and contained racial slurs. They were directed at both the Ontario MP who originated the motion and Heritage Minister Milena Jolly, who added her support to the measure. De Rosio says the reaction to the federal debate prompted her to ask the government House leader to allow her to make a motion in the legislature next week. I believe the Islamophobia needs to be addressed head on, as we have seen too many acts of hatred and violence. Most recently, the mass shooting in Quebec, yada, 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 where six Canadian Muslims of Muslim faith were killed and 19 injured. So she puts this thing out. She's a Jew and a lawyer. And yeah, you can tell it's a Jew. So now we have both the provincial legislature and the federal legislature pushing for if you look crooked, think crooked, have a dream about a Muslim in a negative light, you'll break a law. And this is the very same bullshit that the Jews have used against the world for next to ever. You can't say anything bad about a Jew. Why? I've been studying the Jews the last little bit, and they're a very interesting bunch of people. You see, I thought the Jews, you see, the West was founded basically, supposedly, on Christian values. So you can be whatever. You can be black, you can be white, you can be yellow, you can be red, and still be a Christian. Jews, on the other hand, are a little different. I found there's a whole slew of Jews. In fact, the majority, apparently, in Israel of Jews do not follow the Jewish faith. They're atheists. They're humanists. And they're secularists. This faction of the Jews are the ones that came up with LGBTQ. They came up with the ugliness in the theaters and the pornography. They're the ones that come up with multiculturalism. And I found it rather interesting that you can be a Jew and not believe in the Jewish faith. You can actually be an atheist, but still be a Jew. And I'm going to look more into that. So these people are extremely evil. And they want control of this planet. So I see in the Jew news all the time, they're bitching and complaining about Islam. Well, this broad here that wants to bring legislation into legislate a hate crime of Islamophobia in Ontario is a Jewish lawyer. Now, why would a Jewish lawyer give a sweet bejesus about a Muslim, unless they're connected? And they're very connected. You look at the Jews as the generals and the captains and the lieutenants. You can look at the Muslims as the foot soldiers. And they're coming for us. And we need to back them out of here as quick as possible. So the broad who originally brought forward, I can't call her a lady. Police offer extra protection to Toronto area MP, that's member of parliament, that's federal, behind the Islamic motion or Islamophobia motion. And so now this broad who came here from the States, actually, Michigan, and ended up in the legislative house of this country, is getting extra police protection. Now, when you are in government in a country, you are supposed to be, they never do, because they really took an oath to the state, which is a fiction, but they're supposed to be, or at least they give the impression that voting for A, B, C, or D, whichever one you vote for, has the best interest of the people of the country. Problem is, this broad is only interested in one particular faction in this country, and it's the Muslims. So she cares not about anyone else in this nation except the Muslims. And that the Muslims, who make up, I think, 3%, which is 3% too many, of the population of this nation, are to be put up on a platform like the Jews, and that you can have no negative writings, no negative speech, no negative thoughts, no looks that may upset one of these Muslims. To make the Muslim community untouchable the same Muslim community who wishes to destroy the West. All you got to do is look on the other side of the ocean. And this broad here, who brought this motion forward, who calls herself a Canadian, needs to have her ass kicked back across the ocean somewhere. The fact that somebody can stand up in the House of Commons in Canada and say, I don't give a sweet bejesus nothing, I'm not taking the word Islamophobia out of my motion. And now we have a Jewish lawyer from the provincial level pushing the same nonsense. You can't help but connect the dots. And we need to hold these people accountable. Unfortunately, it appears that the only ones who are accountable are you and I. Those who take an oath to the Queen are not accountable. They are the ones who are supposed to be accountable, but they are actually in the counting house, dealing with accounts, which is what you are. You're nothing more than a corporate account that was created shortly after your birth, when your name was plagiarized and corporatized and turned into a corporate account of the so-called country, which is nothing more than a corporation. And they take from that account all your life. And when you die, they simply close the account. And some people are starting to get it. I was on Facebook last night for a minute. I haven't been to Facebook for some period of time. And I don't even know what the story was. There was a plane came in, and I guess the stewardesses or whatever asked the people to just wait a bit. And they unloaded a casket or some caskets draped in the American flag. Young men and women whose accounts are now closed. And I actually expected a backlash when I put that in. You know, and they had a picture of this young man's wife leaning over his coffin, heartbroken, life busted, distraught. And I saw comments in there about, well, he protected our nation. No, it didn't. No, it didn't. But what I wrote was simply another corporate account is now closed. And I was expecting to get some real backlash on that, but I actually got a big thumbs up from a guy in uniform who finally gets it. This whole thing is a complete and total fraud. And they have been destroying lives since they got hold of us through their deceptions. And feed on us. It's a Jewish thing, you know. And now they're coming in for the final kill, they hope, which is all these countries in the West opening the gates to the enemy. Come on in. We know you hate us. You know, we know you want to destroy us. We know that if we are not Muslim, then we're infidels and you have the necessity to do away with us. But hey, that aside, come on in. Have a house, have a car. Have some medical benefits. We're on your side. We love you, even though you want to destroy us. This is absolutely insane what is going on. Yet it goes on. It goes on. And on and on and on. You got this East Indian, or she's from East India, or she's from India. She's a Muslim. She dresses herself up. Doesn't have her hijab on, or whatever you call it. Trying to make herself look Western. You know, and it's like Cicero said, you know, even though they dress like us and they speak like us, okay, they rot the nation from the inside. It's like a Trojan horse got inside the gates. And we got to come to terms with it quickly. And I suppose this is a good thing. I don't believe that we're going to roll over as quickly as they did in Europe. Europe's been screwed over by the European Union. They've been amalgamated into Babylon. And I think they are not as well prepared as we are. Now people say, well, we aren't prepared here either. Well, maybe. But I think I think we're going to get it quicker than they think. Conservatives have created waves of Islamophobia, Muslim leader says ahead of key House vote. The Canadian Muslim Forum believes the federal conservatives are insincere when they say they wish to fight rising anti-Muslim sentiment in Canada. Canada spent $28 million to give asylum to 1,200 more Yadzi refugees. This is a mess. Well, I'm looking through some of these stories. Canadian Facebook pages down following complaint they were anti-Muslim, possibly related to Toronto protest. A half dozen Facebook pages were offline Tuesday following a complaint by an Ottawa lawyer, Richard Warman. Now, is that a Jewish name? I don't know. Going to go find out. Let's see. Let's see what we got here. I don't know if that. Let's see. Jewish. Ashkenazi. So this guy is an Ashkenazi Jew as well. As a liberal woman who, lawyer, both lawyers, he's a lawyer, she's a lawyer, who are sticking up for the Muslims. Yet the Jewish news is saying how bad the Muslims are. So this isn't going to take long to bust wide open here. Where is that story? This one am I going to take a look at. Islamic group concerned about anti-Islam at a Muslim protest outside Toronto Mosque. Liberal Minister Melanie Jolly accuses Tories of contributing to Islamophobia by failing to denounce it. Unhappy with anti-Islamophobia motion, Tories have their own condemning religious intolerance. So anyways, let's see. Canadian Facebook pages down. Let's see. I'm going to run out of time here. Half a dozen Facebook pages were down. Among them was Canadians Against Islamization. Let's see. Warman, who has long battled far-right websites, has sent a list of suspected Canadian anti-Muslim pages to Facebook following the Quebec City mosque attack that left six worshippers dead. Facebook has taken action on those that qualify as hate speech, the company spokesman said Tuesday. Of course, Facebook is run by a Jew. Well, some of the pages were removed, others remained up, but specific posts were deleted. So much for freedom of speech. Six of the 22 Facebook links in Warren's complaint were no longer online, among them the Cultural Action Party, Canadians Against Justin Trudeau, and the Soldiers of Odin, Ontario South. The reason I forward the list Facebook profiles to the management is Canada. In Canada is because they have been reported to me with concerns about hate speech, Warman said. So you got the Muslims phoning up a Jew. They get the Jew lawyer to complain to a Jew who runs Facebook to take Facebook sites down. Follow the bouncing ball, boys and girls. Organizations, people dedicated to promoting hatred against these protected groups are not allowed a presence on Facebook, it reads, as with all our standards, we rely on our community to report this content to us. But most of the links Warren had complained about were not taken down, despite having provocative names as the Worldwide Coalition Against Islam and the Canadian Anti-Islamic Force. I think I'm connected to both of those Facebooks, I believe. I'm still up and running. And I'm a guy who knows what he's talking about, and I'm a guy who will always say what he means and mean what he says, and if you don't like it, well, you can walk the hell away. But you will not shut down my right to speak my mind. And should I or anybody else lay down to this nonsense, then they are as guilty as those who are trying to destroy our nations. You must stand up and you must speak your mind and you must do it diligently. Because if you don't, you're going to wish you did. I don't want this to turn into another Europe. This is North America, two of the greatest countries the world's ever seen. Canada, we are the richest nation per capita on the planet, bar none. And America. I'm talking about the peoples of these two nations, not about the states. Not about the corporations. I'm talking about the people. The men and women who call these places home. We want to have to stand up. Anyways, everybody, that's the show. Have a great night. Back lower classes, social night. Slime. They don't matter. Genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Caesar shit, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they mass or parade.